morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Brunch Boston. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm here with a very, very special guest, one of the most talked about boxers the world about. He is the UBO and IBF Continental Africa Welterweight Champion, Prince Patel, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on, Prince?
Nice.
Now, I wanted to get right into it, man. Because, listen, a lot of people, at least the people that I talk to in boxing, we became aware of you many, many years ago. Back when you were at the flyweight, you know? Now you're at welterweight. How the hell did you make a jump from flyweight to welterweight in only, like, 5 years, man?
Yeah, it's mad. Basically, I picked up the IBO world title in December 2023. I kind of like didn't really want to box again, so I was just like went to the gyms, lifting weights, getting more female attention and stuff. Obviously, with more size and just liked how I looked and stuff. And then I got a bit bored, wanted to come back into the gym, and then I stopped beating guys up. But I only had like one round in me because I was just bulky, like muscular, and had no cardio. But then I just thought, maybe I could have a run at this weight. Do you know what I mean? Like, fight a super light welter, maybe super welter. And, some guys at that weight can get knocked out by me.
Now, back then, one of your biggest rivals was one Sonny Edwards, a fight that you chased and chased and chased, but never quite happened. Yeah. What happened with that situation with you and Sonny Edwards? Why did we never get that fight?
I don't know. I was going to sign with Pro Bellum at one point. Lee Eaton, I don't know if you know who Pro Bellum were. Lee Eaton offered me a deal. But then everything he said in the build-up to what was offered in the contract was completely different. But the final fight, there was a three-fight deal, was supposed to be against one of the Edwards brothers or a Pro Bellum fighter. But I don't know, it never materialized. And then there was no real offers made for it. And then all you saw was like Sonny fighting and with backing, bearing in mind Sonny had backing and he's fighting in empty tennis courts in Dubai. And I just went about my own route and picked up some championship gold and stuff.
Now, you kind of strike me as a person, at least your situation, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but it kind of felt like for years you've been almost blackballed from like the major, quote unquote, major boxing world, like 100%. The sexual position stuff.
100%. Like, I feel like I got blackballed, blacklisted, and I nearly got blacked as well. But thankfully, that never happened. But a lot of, I believe 100%. But I'm one of them people, God loves a trier, and you can't keep someone like me down. The cream always rises to the top. I've proven that on many different occasions. Like, who do you know on their own can go around the world, knock people out, pick up championship gold, get world rankings in multiple weights, not just one weight or two weights, in multiple weights?
Now, the interesting thing about that is you went to Africa.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like boxing is starting to come to Africa. How much, I don't want to, you know, give you a big head, but how much of an influence was your journey over to Africa in the way the boxing world is seeing the continent now when it comes to boxing?
Well, Ghana Boxing itself gave me an award as a pioneer and an ambassador because they recognized that I was the man that brought Europe and America to Africa to recognize it as a potential powerhouse for boxing. And there are some great fighters that have come from the continent of Africa. You've got like the Professor Izuma Nelson. He boxed Pernell Whitaker. He made Barry McGuigan loudly shit himself because he was scared to fight him. And there's loads of great fighters that have come from that. John the Beast Mugabe. It's an underrated continent because the infrastructure looks like it's not great there. But there's a lot of hidden talent and gems in Africa where if they had the same sort of facilities as, let's say, Europe or North America, there'd be a hell of a lot more African champions of the world.
I know you're probably years and years away from retirement, but have you thought about maybe like building something out there?
Africa. Already currently am involved in sponsoring a nursery in Tanzania. I give them money every month. Want to help aid them to, because I believe every kid's entitled to education. But like when I was in, obviously in the UK, there's like a lot of money pumped into schools, so like the health and safety's there and stuff. But when I went to Africa and I was like visiting different parts of it, and I look at the health and safety, I think, wow, like people are actually living like this. So that's why I tried to do the little bits I can to help people. And I will continue to do that, probably till the day I die.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That might end up being a bigger legacy for you than anything you do inside the boxing ring.
Probably, yeah, definitely. I believed like I was born to help and give as well as help people out. But definitely, someone like me, I want to eventually try build like academies in Africa and in India. And I'd like to see like people in less deprived parts of the world achieve what they can achieve. Do you know what I mean? Like hopefully not just financial lack of finances is holding people back. Do you know what I mean? I want to see everyone, regardless of color, regardless of religion or whatever, do well.
Now, in the boxing ring, you've been keeping yourself busy, like we mentioned, collecting titles all across the world. You're now at welterweight, but not really a welterweight because you fought at 140. Where are you in your career right now?
Truthfully, super lightweight. I think super light, anything from like super feather to super lightweight, I believe I can knock a lot of guys out and win world titles. I know like there's guys even at welterweight, like Rowley, for example. I think Rowley's one of the weakest world champions in the history of boxing.
Not my guy Rowley.
No, but we got to be realistic. We look at the actual intricates of boxing and we look at his skill level. The skill level's very weak. Like Carmel Martin, I think his name is.
Mayweather's fighter.
Yeah. He's a good fighter, but even he said it. He was like, when he was young, I see a video where he goes, yeah, Rowley's not that good. He only hits hard. And it's kind of true. Like hitting hard, okay, that's good. But like, there are fighters like Paulie Malignaggi who has zero power. Like, I probably hit harder than that guy when I was 15. And I was like 42 kilos back then. But like, in pounds, that would have been like 100 pounds or whatever. But like, he had no power and he won a world title in two weights. But I'm just saying that like, Rowley specifically has to rely on punch power. That's a guy that I believe I can make look stupid and I believe I could finish a fight with him face down, ass up.
Yeah, I mean, that would be crazy. That would be crazy because Rowley's a big dude, man.
Yeah, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Now, what's your transition from flyweight all the way up to welterweight been like in terms of like what's been the most difficult thing for you in that transition?
I haven't really boxed at flyweight for a long time. It was like the early parts of my career. Like I was mainly campaigning at like bantam, super fly, super bantam. But I saw the option that was available to fight for the IBO at bantamweight. So I took
bantamweight.
It. Yeah, that's bantamweight. So that's a little bit heavier than flyweight, but I used to always cut a lot of weight to get to that, if that made sense.
Yeah.
But like, I would cut, like, you're American, so I'm guessing you do pounds, isn't it? So, like, I'd be cutting.
Yeah, we do pounds, not
yeah, not kilos. So I think pounds, if you're looking at, like, 60 kilos, I'd be cutting from, like, 135 maybe, something like that, to get to 118. But as I got older, it started becoming more and more difficult. So I had to like restrict the foods I could eat in the day. So I was a bit like a malnutritioned man fighting, but still picking up gold. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And knocking people out. I think I've got the longest knockout streak in the UK at the moment. Ain't been points since I think 2020 or something, like 6 years or something. But I was malnutritioned. And then when I started eating properly, my lifts in the gym suddenly went dramatically higher. And when I catch people, they know they know they've been hurt. They know they've been hit, if that made sense.
Now, what would you say has been like the most surprising aspect of the higher weight classes? Like, are you like faster than the other guys since you came from such a small weight? Like what's been the difference?
I feel like I'm way fast. It's the height, I would say. I would say like the height, usually I used to be tall for the weight. Now I'm just like average. So it's like when I was in the lower weights, I was way taller. So the judge of distance was different. Now it's like, okay, like a guy who's a little bit taller than me might flick a jab at, and I think I'm out of range, but I might get caught with a little jab because I haven't slipped off the line or something like that. But obviously I'm working on different things and we're developing in the gym. And I believe world titles, man. I believe I could win the so-called top four world titles in these divisions. I have no business fighting at welterweight, but someone like Rowley gets put to sleep.
Now you're still only 33 years old and you still have a lot of career left. You did mention that your goal is to win one of the four sanctioning bodies world titles. Yeah. What's the path to getting to those world titles?
My next fight, which is the end of the month, which is July 31st, I'm still yet to actually announce it, but it's obviously... It's there, it's happening. So I think it's on Triller, which is not a major platform, but it's better than what I have been fighting on. And that's for a WBA Asian super lightweight title. So I'll get a top 15 with the WBA, with I should do with my record and stuff. And hopefully once I'm in the rankings, the other sanctioning bodies take note as well. And some of these world champions grow a set and give me an opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it seems like, I don't want to call it political, but we know it's kind of political in boxing. Oh, where you have to have people basically champion your cause. Who's championing the cause for Prince Patel to get noticed and heard by these sanctioning bodies?
At the moment, like, I would say Cassius Keat is probably the only guy. He's in the chat now. Like, probably only him. I don't know, like, it's weird because, like, it should really be judged on merit, like, what you're doing in the ring. Like, if you go in there and you just slap someone up and knock them out, like, you should really be getting the rankings and stuff. But, like, obviously, 100% it's down to who's lobbying you with the governing bodies and stuff like that. But I think fighting for the WBA Asia belt should give me a top 15. And hopefully the IBF, WBC and the WBO could also add me in their rankings.
Now, I want to talk rivals, because obviously you were a rival of Sonny Edwards many, yeah, many moons ago. Different weight class, different time in your life. Yeah. Do you have any boxing rivals today? And if so, who are they?
Well, I'd say the guys that are getting the attention in it. So I would say any of the world champions. You got something I want. So obviously they've all got to be rivals. If we're talking domestically in the UK... I think there was a guy who beat Scooby-Doo. I think his name's Adam Azim. Yeah, Adam Azim.
He's with Boxer.
Ben Shalong. I would say, I think personally, if you look at the demographics on paper, that's a great match on paper. Like, you got, he's a former IBO world champion. Granted, that's super lightweight. I'm a former IBO world champion. He's a former Commonwealth champion. I'm a former Commonwealth champion. I don't know if the Americans really respect that belt, but it's just, we've both won pretty much similar stuff. I've probably won more belts in general, but I've been active longer, even though he's had the promotional push. He was with Sky Sports, now he's with BBC, obviously Ben Shalom. But I think that's a great fight. I think it's a good fight. I think India v Pakistan, that in itself should generate some audience. And it's not like a low level one. Like, you get a lot of India v Pakistan where it's like low level boxing or low level MMA and stuff like that. This is genuinely high level athletes, because I can respect Adam and say, look, he's a world class fighter, and I'm pretty sure he could look at me and be like, well, your record suggests you're a world class fighter. And me and him could get it on, I reckon, and that would be like the best of the best the country's going to offer, if that made sense.
Yeah, I think that would be a great fight for maybe the Lonsdale belt. You never know. I think that would be... Because, listen, we respect out here the tradition that you guys in the UK have. We actually, I don't want to say envy it, but we don't have such a system where we have a US world champion the same way you guys have a English world title and a British world, a British title, stuff like that. We don't have that. We don't have a Lonsdale belt the same way you guys do. So it is pretty interesting, the system that you guys have out there. It's almost like you go from area champion,
yeah.
Then you go, you know, I think like English level or
then
you go to
that
whichever
British,
country you're from.
Then Commonwealth, then European. Yeah, yeah, I get that. But I kind of done it like a different type of route. Like I've won domestic titles for different countries. I look at myself like a modern day Julius Caesar. And I would literally go to these countries, I would knock people out, and then I would fornicate with the women out there. That's what I would do. That would literally my plan was all that. And but I kind of won like the ABU title, which is the African version of the EBU, which is the European title. Yeah. I then won the Commonwealth, a couple of intercontinental titles, then the world. But now, look, I'm only interested in big fights, really. I think Adam Azim's a big fight that could happen. I know he's fighting a guy who's won one fight in his last three. Granted, he boxed at high level and lost the two fights that he lost, but that's still losing. No one cares about losers. We care about winners, right? It's actually shocking how that guy is still ranked with the WBO, with that sort of like coming in with that sort of like previous of like one win in like three fights. But yeah, he's fighting guys, but all these guys, no one really knows who they are. Like when he fought Scooby-Doo, I think he was an American. I think he was a failed NFL player, failed football player. I think he played at college level, not even NFL level. Kurt Scooby did, but these guys, and if you look at the corner as well, at the end of the fight, like in the round 12, Scooby's there, you could see the fight out, go points, and then I see like his corner team give him like a sneaky wink. It's like, I don't know, it seemed a bit. Have you seen the film Snatch, where like Brad Pitt's in it, and then like they was supposed to do a fight, and then he was supposed to lose, and then he didn't lose, and I don't know, it's a bit weird, but. Yeah, that happened. But all these guys he's fighting, I believe I have a bigger name than them. And most importantly, I believe I've achieved more than them.
Well, not only that, you're obviously a big name in the UK. And that would be, to me, like a real big main event in the UK. How do you get the attention of Adam Azim and Ben Shalom to get this fight off the ground?
See, that's a tricky question because, like, if you was a man and you was promoting a guy and you was putting a lot of money into him and you saw this other guy who could potentially upset your guy and beat your guy and hurt your guy, you're not going to do that. It's like, look at the money that you put into Fraser Clark. Yeah? And we just saw Fraser Clark, number one, get decapitated against Fabio Wardley, where he had his jaw nearly ripped off completely. And then he fought Jamie TKV for a British title, I think it was. And he got beat again. You see what I'm trying to say? So, like, this is money that you're pumping into these fighters. You don't want these fighters to go in with guys like Prince Patel, proven knockout artists. You wouldn't want that. Because it's bad for business, right?
It could be good for business, though, because if I sign up my guy to fight Prince Patel and Prince Patel wins, well, damn it, I just might sign Prince Patel. All right, let's go with the winner.
Yeah, but the problem with, you see, I agree with that. See, I would like that. He might, but the reason why I don't think he'd like that is I'm not like your standard yes man. I'm too clever for that. I'm way too smart for that. So it's like, I believe one of the reasons why I haven't really been pushed by promoters and stuff is because look at what I can do on my own. Look at what I can achieve on my own. Just look at the picture, that little circle there. Look at all that championship gold there. That's with no backing. When I was with, just to clarify something there, when I was with Frank Warren, I was on 4-round fights. 8 months from leaving Frank Warren, I was number 10 with the WBO. How does that happen? Who can do that?
You're absolutely right.
It's a higher presence, obviously, has blessed me mentally, physically, emotionally, and sexually. And I just believe that someone like me, I'm not the standard person who's just going to accept any offer, any bullshit. So I think that's one of the reasons why I kind of get the shaft a bit. But the energy will continue, and I'll just keep on winning.
Now, the super lightweight, well, we call it, well, I call it junior welterweight, the super lightweight division has a lot of interesting names. We saw one of your countrymen, Dalton Smith, come over here to the United States, in New York City, and knock out Subriel Matias to gain the WBC belt. Were you able to see that fight? What were your thoughts on your countryman coming over and snatching the gold from Subriel Matias?
I don't really care, to be honest. I think 17 people tuned in to watch that fight. I don't know if it was Rick Glazer who said that, but 17 people buying a pay-per-view, and you've had your whole career on Matchroom with Eddie Hearn. Now, Eddie Hearn arguably could be the best promoter in the world. So you've had all that building, your whole career with one of the most famous promoters in the world, and you only sold 17 pay-per-views. That's not good enough. That's very bad. But congratulations.
So I guess we could call you hashtag not impressed.
I'm impressed that he's become a world champion. He won a WBC world title. It's a very nice belt. Looks nice. It's a good belt. He's done well to do that. He beat, in my opinion, a drug cheat. Who probably could, or I don't know if he was on gear, but didn't he test for the same thing that bitch Ryan Garcia popped for?
That is correct.
I think Amir Khan tested for that as well. It's a bit weird. Like, a lot of people are taking that supplement. Not supplement, that performance enhancing drug. Like, I don't know why. Like, see, guys like Ryan and that. What I can't respect him is because you tested positive for it, but you just don't accept it. It's like someone who is a criminal, doesn't want to own up to it and try and rehabilitate and become a better man. He's just a scumbag. He's someone who's been given too much and thinks he's above the sport. He thinks, oh, I'm getting paid X, Y, Z. I'm a superstar. I don't care about you guys. I don't care about your health and safety. I'm just going to cheat. I'm going to enhance my abilities by cheating, and he still gets beat. And he still gets beat.
Now, we were talking about Dalton Smith. You did mention he has that WBC belt, and it looks nice. How would that WBC belt look on Prince Patel?
I'm straight up a better looking guy than him. I think even his girl would say I'm better looking than him. You know, it's like one of them things, but you know, like sometimes people go like, you're only good look, like your mum will always find you good looking. I even think in that capacity, his mum would find me better looking than him. I'd be open for that fight, but I understand I don't have a WBC world ranking, but obviously I'm going to get a couple wins out. And once I get these wins and pick up some more intermediate belts, hopefully I can get a ranking there. And that's something that could be made. Any fights, I'd prefer to fight someone like Ryan Garcia, because I just don't particularly like the guy because of how he does business and how he conducts himself. And I think it's a very easy fight for me to win.
Now, let me ask you, how do you feel like you match up against the champions and contenders over at 140?
You're a boxing man, though. Like, obviously, you got brunch boxing. You're a boxing man. But how does a guy lose to Rowley pretty much every round and then get a world title fight after? Now, this isn't like, I don't know. Like, in boxing, people used to tell me it's who you know. But I'm actually thinking it's who you blow. Like, I don't know who Ryan's blowing. But how do you warrant getting a WBC world title fight after getting beaten up every round? And coming off, he ain't won a fight since 2023. I was a bantamweight when he won his last fight.
The views of Prince Patel are the views of Prince Patel, and Prince Patel only, they do not represent the views of me or Prince Patel. I need to throw that disclaimer out there before you get me banned by Mauricio.
Mauricio needs to answer these questions, though, because the masses need to know, like, how does a guy get beaten up every round, not have a win since 2023, and in 2026 get an opportunity to fight for a world title. He's not even a former world champion, is he? He's won an interim world title. So it's not like it's a legend like Manny Pacquiao who's coming back after XYZ years. Like, how's he got that? Who has he literally sucked off for it? I want to know.
Hey,
not for me to do that, but I could get some groupies and tell them, like, yo, just sort this guy out, man. Like, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Hey, listen, that's a great question. It's a great question, but it's a question I don't have an answer to. You know,
I'm not Mauricio Suleiman. Do you think Ryan Garcia sucks dick?
I don't know what that man does in his personal life.
He did say he's bisexual, though. Nothing, look, I've got no issues with homosexuals.
He did say that. I've got
no issues with homosexuals at all. No issues. Love is love. But do you think Ryan may have put his lips around someone in the WBC's penis?
I would hope that's not how he got his title shot. That's not the way to go to get your title shot.
If we break it down and we just think about it, we go like, so he ain't won a fight since 2023. He boxed, he had a no contest. He then got popped for taking gear. He then got beat by Rowley, who, come on, we all know Rowley sucks, man. Everyone knows Rowley sucks.
No, Rowley's good. No,
Rowley has a bit of power.
Let me defend Rowley a little bit. I understand that Rowley is not what we call like a traditional boxer, like the way he boxes. But since he has made the move to Ismael Salas, I think Rowley has boxed much better. He's been using his jab more, and he's shown that he can execute a game plan from start to finish. I think maybe the trainer, Ismael Salas, has really made a difference in the way he boxes, and you can see that in the ring.
Yeah, Ishmael, I've done pads with Ismael Salas when he was training with David Hay. I've done some pads with him. A very knowledgeable man. A lot of the Cuban coaches are knowledgeable, like Jorge Rubio, he's pretty decent as well. But it still doesn't change the fact that he got badly chiefed up against Tank.
That was before Salas.
I agree with that. The fight against Barroso, he was losing before.
That was before Salas.
I agree. This is all before Salas. And then Cruz, he got violated against Cruz.
That was also before Salas.
I agree. So one man's just changed this guy's life.
He's come into his life
and he's forgiven him for all his sins and made him a superstar.
Think of it this way. Rowley's old trainer, his nickname was Bullet, and he hasn't trained anyone since. Think about that. Think about where this kid came from. He had an inexperienced trainer who hasn't trained anyone since, and now he's with a well-respected coach and a world champion.
That's very cute to say, yeah, but he still gets knocked out if he fights me.
Hey, listen, you got to make it happen. You got to make it happen.
Yeah, but that's what I touched upon before. It's like, if you're a promoter and they're pushing Rowley and they want him to fight the easiest guys for his belt and all this sorts of stuff, they're not going to look at me and be like, so this guy's out here, he's jumped up all these weights, he's carried power, he's drug-free, not like that Austrian bitch fucking Ryan Garcia. He's a legit guy. And also, with all the Indian hate you get on the internet, he gets knocked out by an Indian guy. They ain't gonna want that to happen. That's career over. That's suicide for him. He might as well just jump off the San Francisco Bridge.
You know, it's very interesting, though. You do fight at 140, but you seem to have more smoke for welterweights right now. Do you want to get paid at 147 instead of 140?
I'll get paid at any weight. Like, if a fighting a DJ popped up, I don't mind risking my jaw in four places. But I'm just saying, I just think Rowley's very easy to beat with Salas.
Now, we do have some other champions at 147 pounds. You let me know how you feel like you match up against them. Let's start with the guy that Ryan Garcia will be facing on February 21st, Mario Barrios.
I thought he lost to a 46-year-old or 47-year-old Manny Pacquiao. I don't know, man. I thought he lost to him. So, like, I don't know, man. I don't think much of him.
How do you match up against IBF champion Lewis Crocker?
I barely even know who that guy is. I know he was training with Billy Nelson. I honestly barely know who he is.
Well, apparently there has been a very contentious breakup between him and Billy Nelson, and Billy Nelson is not happy at all. Not sure if you've been following up on your boxing Twitter news.
Yeah, I heard something about that. He's training with, I think, Sin's gym or something. He's training in London now or something. No, with Booth, actually. That's it. He's training with Booth Second, a Pakistani guy called H. But I don't even care about this. I barely know who he is. I like the belt, but I barely know who he is. Is Billy Nelson upset that he's not training anymore?
Yeah, he feels that he's been snaked, basically.
Yeah, but Billy Nelson's he's pushing Martin Bacoli, and Martin Bacoli was caught with indecent images of children. He put them on Twitter, like, so. If you're willing to side with someone like that and be friends with them and associate with them, then you're a scumbag. Like, forget Billy Nelson, he's a loser. And he looks a bit suspect as well. Like, in my opinion, obviously, Billy Nelson, if I was having someone, let's say, look after my children, it would not be Billy Nelson. Do you know what I mean? Like, he looks a bit, I'd worry for the safety. Do you know what I mean?
I think I know what you mean, but I don't want to go there. All right, let's look at the WBO welterweight champion, Devin Haney, who just recently won his belt over in Riyadh against Brian Norma. How do you match up against a Devin Haney?
It doesn't even matter because he's got his next three fights booked in, and I don't think anything...
You think so?
A very knowledgeable man in the game has told me he's got his next three fights booked in, and... none of them involve me, so there's no need for me to talk about him. There's no need for me to give him airtime. And, we can move on to the next. Is there any other champions at that weight? Well, we went through the IBF.
Well, we do have an interim champion in Isak Pitbull Cruz at 140.
Do we count interim as a world champion?
Yeah, of course, because you don't realize.
Wasn't the WBA interim champion an Italian guy who's unbeaten?
Yeah, for now.
For he's fighting Cruz?
No, I think he's going to be fighting, if I'm not mistaken, he's eventually going to be fighting the BA champion. Cruz is the BC interim.
Oh, WBC, okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing with these interim belts, and I know people poo-poo them a lot. It's not the interim champion's fault if the champion refuses to fight him. You got to come up off the belt. Like, I don't feel any different about David Benavidez because Dmitry Bivol decided not to fight him. You know?
But what do you think about Fabio Wardley or, like, Jazza Dickens, who went from interim WBO champion and then suddenly becomes WBO world champion without actually having the fight? It's like Joe Joyce held the WBO interim for a very long time. And then he ends up losing to Parker, but he had it for like three or four fights. And then...
Here's the thing, right? When it came time for Oleksandr Usyk to fight Fabio Wardley, he said, maybe not. Let me just give up his belt.
Do you think that was more of a financial decision to get a bigger fight somewhere else? Or maybe, let me give up my belt and let me become three-time undisputed heavyweight champion.
Let me tell you something. He ain't never fighting Fabio Wardley. I hate to break it to you.
Let's break it this way, though. If I'm Thanos, and I've given up one of my stones, and then I want to be a bully again and just take my stone back and be
he
like...
He ain't fighting Fabio Wardley. As but long as that belt is on Fabio Wardley, Usyk is not going to fight him. Why would he do that at 38, 39 years old? Fabio Wardley put a dent in the side of someone's head.
Yeah, so what? So what against Flabby Clark, who's just a standing target?
Here's the thing, right? Fabio Wardley wasn't supposed to beat Frazier Clark. That's what people are not understanding. It's easy to look back at it with hindsight, but going into the first fight...
I don't know, man. I think my opinion, Frazier Clark is worn out from the amateurs. Like he could be,
but the general consensus going into that fight, because I remember the first fight on it was the 31st of March on a Sunday, because I watched the fight live because it was one. I love the heavyweight division, so I watch every heavyweight fight. Frazier Clark was supposed to win, and then
Hahn or something, and he was losing, and he just pulled a shot out of nowhere.
It's Justice Hooney.
Yeah, that's the guy, Justice Hooney, and he was winning all 10 rounds, and then suddenly gets knocked out. It's Styles makes fights. Like, Fraser Clark is a big unit who's there to be punched. Usyk is a harder person to punch. If you're telling me Big A to the J, the man who stretched Amir Khan's wife, if you're telling me that guy couldn't tag Usyk and hurt him and do all this stuff, and you're telling me Fabio can, and AJ's a better athlete,
AJ's not a better athlete. AJ's a better boxer, not a better athlete. Fabio Wardley, no. Fabio Wardley is a lot more fluid than Anthony Joshua.
You think?
He is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bro, have you ever seen AJ try to dunk a basketball?
Bro, AJ's very athletic, bro. Look at the shape he's in. That's an athletic.
He's in great shape, but the one Tyson Fury might think that AJ's a big stiff idiot. He said that, not me. I'm not saying that.
Okay, but what about Fury though? Fury's quite athletic, right? He's meant to be switching, doing all this.
Yes, he is.
His chin nearly flew out the ring in round 9 against Usyk.
Yeah, but he gave Usyk all that he could handle. I think that where Usyk is going to struggle is against these heavyweights that have the athleticism. He's going to struggle with the Fabio Wardies, the Moses E.E. Thomas. Even some of these smaller heavyweights coming up, I think if Usyk sticks around long enough, he's going to struggle with them because he has every advantage against the monsters because he's coming from cruiserweight. So these guys are not fast enough. They don't have the footwork. But when you have the athletic guys, he's going to struggle. The same way you are on the longest knockout streak in British history since you moved up in weight. Do you think that's a coincidence?
That was prior. I've always been knocking people out. Me knocking people out, Ryan Garcia has not openly, behind the scenes said he wants to go to India and have a match. So if he wants to go to India and have a match, I believe I'm the first and only legit Indian world champion with the IBO, the same belt that Usyk carries. And I think, you know what? Me and him in India, he can take Austrian.
You don't want him to cheat. You don't want him to cheat. Come on.
No, because like cheaters never win, innit? And I believe I've got God's power, innit? God would be backing me.
Cheaters actually do win. They really do win.
I cheated
in my fantasy football league and I won the league. So cheaters do win. Trust me.
I weren't in that fantasy football league.
But here's the thing, right? In all seriousness, because I do think you against these guys at 147 to 140 are great matchups, you know. But how are we going to get there? Because
I don't know. I just think like Ryan's like he's done a lot of blowing, yeah. But I think he needs punishment. He needs punishment. A little 1 year ban, 6 months, whatever it is, because you cheated, because you tried to put another man's life in danger, and then he gets rewarded with a world title fight, and he won a fight in nearly 3 years. Come on, man, we need to see some. I want capital punishment. I want to be the judge. I want to be the jury, and I want to be the executioner.
Now, let me ask you about that, because obviously, and for great reason, you're very passionate about drugs in the sport of boxing. We don't have a uniform system. There was too many countries, too many fighters. What are your thoughts? What should realistically happen to someone that gets caught with PEDs?
Well, if you get caught, you're obviously guilty at that point. But I believe you should have a hearing to explain what's happened or why it's in your system. It's like I had a conversation where there was mentions of Dennis McCann in the gym today. And I think he tested for Tren and Masteron. Now, as far as I'm aware, they're injectable substances. So if you're being tested, if you're claiming contamination, because someone said it could be contamination, I'm like, what was he injecting for that to be contaminated? Was he putting a vitamin C booster in him? Was he doing something? I don't know. Like, you don't suddenly just get Tren in your system, do you? Do you know what I'm trying to say? So I don't know. Like, if it's something like that and you can't explain, and I believe the hearings should be public. Like, if you're Conor Benn and you're testing positive and you're saying you've been exonerated, explain how you've been exonerated. Show the proof to why you had this substance in your system. Like, how did it happen? Was it an accident? If it was an accident, explain the accident. Do you know what I'm trying to say? but there's this no sort of like as you said, like a policing system to it. So I just think, look, guys like Conor Benn, guys like
Dennis Ryan McCann, Garcia, Ryan Garcia,
these sorts of guys, they need to be there needs to be some capital punishment, and I want to volunteer to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner.
Now, Conor Benn allegedly is making his way back to 147. I don't know how. I'm just saying he hasn't weighed in at 147 since he tested positive for clomiphene, so I don't know how he's going to make it back there. But if Conor Benn does make it back to 147, is that a fight that Prince Patel would be interested in?
Let me think about that. So I don't like the guy. I don't particularly like his dad. You know, his dad, abandoned one of his children. I'm against men abandoning their children. They're not good people, basically. So would I fight a guy I don't like? Absolutely. I would do that.
Okay.
I would 100% do that. You heard the story about Nigel, though, yeah?
I'm aware.
You know a guy called Harvey Price? Harvey Benn. You know Harvey Benn?
Yes, I'm aware. I'm aware of the story.
Somebody
actually came to me privately with the story because they wanted me to report on it. But we don't report on that kind of stuff. You know, we try to stay away from the TMZ.
Nigel claims to be like a God-fearing man, innit? So as a God-fearing man, you wouldn't commit adultery, would you?
Oh, wow. Come on, man. Listen. I'm not here to judge any man.
You are aware what Harvey Benn's mum used to work as, right? You are aware of that, right?
No. Nah.
You're not aware?
No. That I'm not aware of. I don't think I want you to tell me.
I think the masses need to know, you know? I think the masses want to know. So this lady used to dance on tables.
Hey, that's my favorite kind of girl. Okay, now you got my attention.
She used to have the poontang out. The poontang pie was out. Yeah? And Nigel used to have Nigel wouldn't help his son, apparently. This is not me just saying this. This is documented. So you could check online. You could see the articles that the lady claims and says what it is. So Nigel's not helping his son. And his mum's having to dance on tables to put bread on the table. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So this is why, as a man myself, I can't respect the Benns. I can't do that. And this is someone who don't have a father himself. I was abandoned. I was. Yeah, never met my dad. Didn't want to know me. Doesn't want to know me. So that's why I get more passionate about this. So it's not me taking digs at Harley saying that your mum was dancing on tables for £5. This is me being upset at the Benns for allowing this to happen. This is a world champion boxer. This is a multi-millionaire. And his baby mum was dancing on tables to put bread in his child's mouth. You see that?
We got some comments from some of the fans.
I don't like to call them fans, by the way. I like to call them supporters. I don't like the terminology of fans. It's like something that bitch Ryan Garcia would say. You'd go, oh, yeah, I got a lot of fans. Like, no, they're just supporters. They're people who enjoy what you do. They like what you do. And they're there.
From one of the supporters, it says, this man Patel is diabolical. And then it says, hey, this is a wild digger. Yo, hey, listen, you're going to get my show banned, Prince.
Do they mean diabolical because I keep winning? is winning make someone diabolical? I don't know. Diabolical would be someone like Rowley getting knocked out by Cruz or Ryan Garcia taking gear and still getting beat and stuff.
Trying to get you big fights. We're trying to get you back into the industry. You cannot get back in the industry by exposing the industry, man. They gonna get you up out of here.
I don't know. I think these are good fights that could be made. I think Ryan Garcia, he needs humbling. Conor Benn, I need to beat him up because of his dad and himself. Because they're two, as we just said, Ryan Garcia and Conor Benn, they not really had punishments. Like, if you see Conor Benn, his punishment was getting rewarded with, like, a £12 million fight against Eubank. How How on earth, who does that? In what world can that happen? Like, there needs to be a multi-universe out there where he's getting punishment.
No, I get that. No, I do get that. And you are absolutely right about that. So, because I think, especially with somebody like Jana Beck, you know, who...
Mm. The middleweight.
Claim he was the boogeyman. Then when he get a champion to fight him, he tests positive. You know? Wow. So it's like, are you really the boogeyman or are you smoking mirrors and cheating the whole time and now you finally get caught because, you know, now you're doing the actual testing instead of waiting on the commission to test
you. I like to look at it with Conor Benn, for example. Like, me as an amateur, I was an England international. I won 4 national titles, got the 6 national finals. I've been knocking out people since I was 13 years old. Not even 13, 12. Since I was 12 years old in the amateurs, I've been literally putting people on their ass. Yeah, and in the amateurs, it's different because it's not like pro boxing where you can fight someone that's not very good or he's there to be beat and all that sort of stuff. The amateurs, you don't really know who's there. So if you're like a 12-year-old kid and you're knocking out guys, the same age as you, obviously, but you're knocking people out and you still have that power as you're older, that's believable. That's understandable. When you're like Conor Benn, who didn't have no amateur boxing pedigree, he never boxed for England like I did, he never won no national titles like I did. He's getting dropped by a guy called Cedric Pienaar, who, just by that name, you know that guy can't fight. Like, name me a Cedric that can fight. Yeah, so what I'm trying to say is he's getting dropped by guys like Cedric Pienaar from France, going life and death with a geezer like that. And then suddenly he's knocking out guys like Chris Van Heerden and Chris Algieri. Yeah. And not just knocking them out, like, in brutal fashion. Like, I want to know whatever training his coach is doing to him so I can just copy that and see if I can make my power even harder. But I think we know deep down where it come from. You know what I'm talking about? You think it's the juice, did you say?
I think a lot of Dr. Oz clients...
Oh, Dr. Usman Sajjad.
I think a lot of his clients have like a very drastic uptick in performance. Maybe he's just a great doctor.
He told me that they, when they have like the common cold or something like that, they come to him and he gives them medication and stuff. Look, Dr. Uz seems like a nice guy. I don't know if it's Dr. Uz personally doing it, but I think Conor tested before he went with Dr. Uz, if that made sense. So before Dr. Uz was even involved with him. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So, but I don't know. Uz could be involved. I don't know. But he seems like a nice guy to me. Seems a God-fearing man. So I don't think he'd do something like that. But it still doesn't change the fact that Conor's cheated, in my opinion. It's obviously all opinion because he's been exonerated. It's just my opinion.
No, hold on. Let's be clear. He wasn't exonerated. I hate that people say he wasn't exonerated. He was cleared to fight, not because they didn't agree that he had the drugs in his system, but because they couldn't prove how the drugs got into his system. And
That sounds very stupid because if it's in his system, it was in his system. You can't prove if you test positive for someone, it's straight liability. If you test positive for someone,
it used to be strict liability unless you have enough money to fucking bankrupt UCAD and keep appealing. Because UCAD ain't got no fucking money. I don't know if you know the situation in the UK. They ain't got no money, all right? So you have a guy like...
You telling me UCAD had to prove why he had this drug in his system?
Because he's claiming contamination. He's claiming contamination.
What? No, but
Bro, look at the ruling. They never said he didn't have the drugs in his system. Everyone agrees to the fact that the drugs was in his system. What they can't agree on was that whether it was contamination or whether it was willful use. So they bought the contamination thing because they can't prove otherwise.
But the drugs were unequivocally
in his system. I get
what you're saying. So this sounds like a lot of skullduggeries going on here. This sounds like I need to be the guy to hand out the beatings. He needs to be punished. He needs to be bent over, and I need to do the damage. It's as simple as that. He needs to be spanked.
Now, I know I told my audience that we're ending, leaving pause in 2025, but I got to hit the pause button on that. That was a violation.
But he does. I'm tired of drug cheats being rewarded. Yeah, with million-pound, multi-million-pound fights, and they act like they're owed the world. Like, you see the demeanor, the attitude in him after and stuff. It's horrible. It's not nice. And he needs to be punished. And I would like to put my name in the hat as the guy that could punish him, that will punish him if given the opportunity.
Now, you got smoke for Carter Ben. You got smoke for Ryan Garcia. You got smoke for Adam Azim, Rolly Romero. Are there any other guys that you want smoke with? Be it 140. You did mention you could fight a super featherweight 130, 135. Any other guys?
You know what it is? It's kind of like personal within boxing. It's like I've been solo myself, picking up championship belts, no backing. But then when I see guys like Ryan Garcia and Conor Ben, where they cheat and they still get opportunities, it hurts, man. It hurts deep down. Like myself as a lifetime natural, and then I'm seeing guys cheating. And like we said earlier, cheaters never prosper, and you're saying they do. It's crazy. It's crazy, but then you mentioned any fighters that I would like to fight. This guy hasn't cheated, but as a human, he's a scumbag. He's Gervonta Davis. Let's break it down, though, with Gervonta Davis. Isn't he currently going to be arrested or something, or get a court indictment for beating on girls?
Well, a warrant has been issued for his arrest by Miami Gardens police in connection with an alleged assault against a female bottle waitress at a nightclub in Miami. Yes, you are correct on that.
Okay, so you see, that's disgusting. What kind of a man puts his hands on female? I know Tank's about 5'4", 5'3", and he's like half a man in size, if you know what I mean. Like, any guy, in my opinion, under 5'8", they're half a man. So, like, I know Tank's half a man, but you can't put your hands on women. That could be someone's baby mum. That could be someone's mum. Never mind baby mum. That could be someone's mum. That could be someone's daughter. And he's out there putting his hands on women. Just a bully. He needs to be punished. He doesn't need to be punished.
Now, let me ask you a question, right? Because obviously that's outside the ring. It's not PEDs. It doesn't affect what goes on inside the ring. But
we talked about what, this.
Listen. Hold on. Let me land real quick. Okay. I want to ask you, what, if anything, do you think should be done in cases of domestic violence and assaults on women to these fighters?
The thing is like, Tank's obviously a trained athlete. I'm not going to say he's rubbish because he's actually pretty decent. He's unbeaten. The draw was a bit subjective, though. But he's obviously against a female. Like, let's be real. Like, Tank should be able to beat up most females. So the fact that he's just abusing himself, like abusing women and just trying to act tough just for the sake of it, he's a scumbag. He's a piece of shit. Like, I can't respect that. How can anyone respect that? And also, he slurs his words. It's kind of hard to understand him. So, like, I could give him an English lesson as well as a boxing lesson.
Could the WBA step in and do anything to Tank Davis?
Well, yeah. Make me mandatory to fight him. they could be the judge, the jury. I'll just be the executioner. I've said this many times. It's the thing is, it's more like as a man thing. Like, I'm not one of them. Like, in my culture, I don't know about American culture, but in my culture, when I see when I see people like being injustice, like I see some guy bullying someone on the street, I will try to help. Obviously, if it's some big wham geezer like A to the J, I might step back a bit. But if it's someone around my size, I'll try to help. But I don't understand that American culture. Don't you want to see this guy get fucked up? He's out there hitting American women. You think that's okay?
No, it's not okay.
It's not. Absolutely not. A waiter who's just earning their wage, and I know waiters don't get paid much and they need to be tipped and all that sorts of stuff. And then you've got this scumbag who's getting given all this money through fighting, and he's using his weapons that he learned in the gym on women. That's not acceptable. That's on any capacity. Forget me fighting him. I think all of us should go do God's work and let's all just rush him outside. He deserves to be watched.
Should he be suspended? Say today we appointed Prince Patel as the czar of boxing. You get to make all the rules.
Yeah.
Domestic abusers.
Well, in the UK, if you've got a current ongoing criminal investigation, if you've been charged with something, they restrict your license.
Oh, really?
So if you're even if you're on tag, if you come out of prison, you're on license or whatever, you can't get a professional license in the UK if you're on that, if that makes sense. So Tank, who's got an ongoing, I think I see a video one time of Tank at a basketball game and he's dragging some girl. Is this real, right? There was a video of him dragging.
That happened at NBA All-Star Weekend a few years ago.
You know what I should have done? I should have jumped on a plane. I should have just catched him slipping in Baltimore and I should have just slapped him about. I should have done that. I should have done God's work. That's God's work right there. I should have done God's work and I should have beaten up. So it's not even just one woman that he's beating up. He's beating up multiple women. This guy's a scumbag. He doesn't deserve to be in a boxing ring. He doesn't deserve to be getting big matches. He doesn't deserve to hold any titles. The WBA should strip him 100%. He's got like a regular belt, ain't he?
No, he's the champion. There's no other champions.
He's the super WBA champion.
I don't know if they call it super, but he's the only champion at the weight class. So he is the WBA champion.
In
135.
Well, my next fight's at 140. I should get a top 15. I'm going to ask Gilberto Mendoza if he allows me to do God's work and drop down to 135, become mandatory, and do God's work.
Well, interestingly enough, the WBA does not currently have a mandatory at 135, so that could
maybe
very well happen.
Maybe the fight should have been at 135, then instead I could do 135 easy. Yeah, I'll have to speak to him about that. But yeah, I don't know, like in America, is it normal for men to hit women? Because in the UK and even in India, that is disgusting. Even in Africa, that's disgusting.
So here's the thing, as a survivor of domestic violence, I think I could speak to this. It is all too common and very underreported in the U.S., the issues with domestic violence. They say 1 in 3 women report being domestically abused, and the numbers are actually much higher than that because they're afraid to report their abusers. So it is an epidemic.
And that's happening in all of America, whether it's white, black, Hispanic,
correct,
Indian, anything.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Correct. Men who hit women, in my opinion, are the same as people who abuse dogs. Like, I'm a dog man. So, they're scumbags. And
I'm going to say that's a lot worse than abusing a dog.
No, come on.
Don't
ever say, my dog is literally on my bed right now with me. My dog is American, by the way. My dog was born in America.
I hope you don't have a pit bull.
It's an American bully, but like...
Oh my God, dude, you got to get rid of the dog.
No. I believe pits are the best breeds in the world.
No, you got to get... Do you have children?
Maybe. But
do you have children that you are aware of?
Maybe not. I don't really want to discuss about children. I've sowed my royal oats in a lot of women around the world, mate. Yeah, a lot. Like there's probably different races.
There might be a little Patel somewhere in Tanzania, somewhere in Ghana,
Somalia, Nigeria, Saudi. Like, I'm probably the only... You know, I don't want to incriminate myself, actually, because that's a death sentence out there. I don't want to incriminate myself.
Yeah. Don't say nothing about Saudi, please.
Yeah. I've fought there before. Unfortunately, I flailed. I failed, though. But yeah, but that was, I learned from that. And I just think, look, we've gone off topic talking about dogs and stuff, but I think, look, Tank's a scumbag. Like, surely you guys want to see him get executed now.
I want to see him face justice.
Okay, so would you fare the safest way for that man to face justice is by a man who hasn't gone points in 6 years?
Hey, listen. I'm not too sure if that's the right job for you, man. I'm not too sure.
No, 100% is the right job. I'll tell you why it's the right job.
That's the right job for you, man. I'm not sure. Listen, I like you, man. I don't want to see you in there with Tank, man. I don't want to see you in
there. All I'm saying is God doesn't want to see domestic abusers like Tank. That is true. So I believe it's not just going to be me, even though I don't need God to help me for this fight, but I believe it would be me and God against him because he's a scumbag.
You know, the only man to ever defeat God was Vince McMahon.
Yeah, that is true.
The only man to ever defeat God. So you do have the odds on your side. You do have that God power.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, look, at the end of the day, I believe I've always been blessed with the power of the punch. Yeah, always. Yeah, anyone who sparred me can verify, unless they're just hating, will verify that. Because when I hit people, they stay hit. I just think Tank being a midget, got a big head, he's got a huge head. And I think it's a very easy target. He moves his head pretty well, though. He punches fairly hard himself. So it's probably who catches who first. And I believe I'll catch him first because he hits women.
Man, I don't. Listen, I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not going to argue with that at all.
I do cause a lot of damage on women. I want to verify that. I want to let people know that. There's a lot of damage. I cause a hell of a lot of damage on women, obviously through the stretching aspects. But obviously, Tank has to abuse them with the hands. Now, that's not acceptable on any capacity, is it?
Nah, unacceptable.
He's kind of letting your country down, though. You know, like, I'm out here spanking girls' asses. Yeah, stretching girls out. And he's out here putting hands on women, waiters and stuff. I think the girl from the NBA All-Stars bullshit, was it baby mum or something? Was it his baby mum?
I'm not too sure who the woman was. It might have been.
In the words of Rupert Garcia, that man is a woman beater. You like that shit? You like that shit? I don't like that shit. I don't like that shit, Rupert. I don't.
I think
you guys should be making a petition for me to fight Tank. Because when I was born by a single mum, raised me and my siblings all alone. All my siblings make over 6 figures annually easy on their own. I make a lot of money myself. She done an exceptional job. And imagine some donut like Tank trying to put hands on a woman. It makes me sick. I don't even need to be paid for that. I just want to fight him. We could do it outside the ring as well.
No. You got to get paid for that. Come on, man.
No, because if he done it outside the ring, you're my BJJ is on an elite level. I know Ryan Garcia's BJ is on an elite level, hence he's getting WBC world title fight. But my BJJ is on an elite level. On a very elite level.
Let's pivot real quick.
You could just see like Tank getting choked out and he's like all dying and shit, like, yeah. But no, we should really end it with my hand hitting Tank's face.
You know what? I'm going to take your advice. We're going to let that be the last word. But before we get out of here, are you comfortable taking any questions from the listeners? Because we do have listeners.
Look, I call the listeners supporters. I want the supporters to give questions.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a little nervous about this because this could go. And well, you know what? It can't any worse. So maybe I shouldn't be nervous. But if you have a question for IBF, Continental Africa Champion, Prince Patel. Send your request now. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Because this this might be the last episode of Brunch Boxing.
Okay. I think this has been kind of politically correct, though. I don't think I've gone too un-PG. I think it's been pretty PG. I think everyone at home don't like domestic abusers.
No, not at all. I agree with that.
I personally have had women try to attack me. Like, when they found out that I was dicking down other girls and they got upset about that, I've had women try to attack me. I have. And men should speak. I've had women stalk me. I've had multiple women stalk me, actually. It's not good. It's not good. Yeah, I admit that. Any form of domestic abuse, either way, is not good. But what Tank does is horrible. That's not PG. Surely that's not PG. As a world champion boxer hitting women waiters, it's not good. It's not good at all.
It's definitely not good. Definitely not good.
So have we got any questions?
Yeah, I got one question. Someone wants to know, would you fight Blair the Flair Cobbs?
Who's that?
Do you watch boxing, Prince?
No, I do watch. Wait, Blair the Flair. Is he light-skinned, this guy? He was going to fight in the UK against Elliot Wade. Okay, and he beat AB.
Yeah, he beat AB. He was going to fight in the UK. His fight got canceled because of some reason.
But why did it? Food poisoning, right? After talking all that smack, and then he quit. He talked all that smack and then pulled out after talking that smack, after the weigh-in. I don't want to entertain time wasters like this. Why would I entertain that? So his career best win is beating an alcoholic in AB. I would slap the shit out of AB. I would inflict some serious damage. And I know AB's close to Tank, who's a woman abuser. And I'm not talking abuser sexually. I mean physically trying to hurt them. Yep. AB can get it as well because he condones that shit.
Who would you say would be your toughest matchup at 130, 135, 140, and 147? So that's four different divisions. Who's your toughest matchup in each division?
I don't know, man.
How would you do against Oshaki Foster at 130, who just put on a great performance?
Have you seen that guy's hairline? Have you seen his hairline? That guy's so ugly, his hair's running away from his face. Oshaki Foster, people was expected to laugh at that point, but they didn't. But no, Oshaki Foster's terrible, man. He boxes as bad as his hairline is.
At 135, how would you do against Shakur Stevenson or Tank Davis? Well, tell me about Tank. We know how you think you'll do against Tank. How would you do against Shakur Stevenson? Yeah.
I've seen Shakur throw hands on road against some guy with his girl there, and he didn't really hurt the guy, and that was no fist, wasn't it?
That was the gas station fight you referred to, yes.
Yeah, the gas station fight. So he's out there with his mates punching a guy who's with his girl, and he still wasn't hurting that guy with no fist, with no gloves on, just bare fist, hitting cranium, and still not hurting guys. No wonder this guy runs around when he fights.
All right,
Imagine I just didn't come forward and I just stayed in the middle of the ring. It's just going to be boring, isn't it? He's just gonna run around and he's going to do all this bullshit. He actually punched a girl at the gas station as well, by the way. So what is it with these American guys, man? These American guys are bitches, man. Like, think about it. You got Tank punching girls. You got Shakur Stevenson with no power running around the ring, and then the only time he stands there is when a girl's there as well, when he's punched the girl as well. What scumbag? What? And he's being blessed with Saudi purses. That's not good. That's not good.
How would you do against a Gary Antoine Russell?
He has quite a few of them, ain't there? The Russells, Gary Russells, a few of them.
Yeah,
I think there's a few. I don't know which one we're referring to there, but so I only know one of them.
He is the WBA 140-pound champion.
Is he the guy that fought Lomachenko and got chiefed up?
No, that is his older brother, Gary Russell Jr.
So they're all called Gary, ain't they?
Yeah, all the brothers are named
Gary. Yeah, why do Americans do that? That's a bit weird. So not only do you name your child, like George Foreman, like all his kids are called George Foreman, George Foreman.
Yeah, and then his daughter. His daughter's Frida.
Is that like an American culture where you call like everyone the same?
No, some do that.
Didn't he lose to Puello and he has like no defense and like, yeah, I put that guy to sleep. That guy gets put to sleep quickly. He lost to some guy called Puello. Like, sounds like poo.
Nah, I know he has his three fights booked, you say, but how was he doing at 147 against Devin Haney?
Also with the Russell guy, didn't he struggle with Postal and should have got beat? Just to point that out as well. And a Cuban guy that I don't even know his name. With Devin Haney. Yeah, a lot of people said he should have got beaten. That former IBF champion, France Bartholomew. But Devin Haney, I don't really know, to be fair. I think I beat everyone. On my night, I get it right, I beat anyone in the world. I believe that America sounds like a very weird country, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. The sorts of stuff I'm hearing guys with the same name in the same family. I'm hearing guys that are hitting women. I don't know, like in the UK, we don't really have that as much. Like, you get some weirdos.
Hey, don't get me started on the UK. Don't get me started on you blokes over there in the UK.
We ain't out, our athletes ain't out here punching women. Yeah, and still not hurting
really?
Them. You got Shakur Stevenson punching women and still doing no damage. Like, okay. What's that guy going to do against me?
Okay. All right. Okay. We have some requests from the listeners. First, I want to bring on friend of the show. Make sure you go check out his company, Brox & Print Co. from the underground. My guy, Gritty. What's going on, Gritty? You on with Prince Patel?
What up, though, Matt? Burns Boxing.
What's good, Greg?
What up, Prince Patel?
What's up? What's good?
Not much. I want to know, like, do you think just talking shit is going to get you the fights with these people? Or what's your plans to really get in line to earn the fights?
Just keep winning. Winning titles. I'm fighting for a top 15 with the WBA at 140 in my next fight, which is January 31st. It's going to be live on Triller. After that, hopefully just keep picking up different belts. I want to be active. I want to be fighting once a month for a different title and different weight as well. Hopefully I can get ranked multiple weights. And then hopefully I could start executing some of these Americans that hit women.
What weight do you feel like you're more comfortable at?
Anything from like 130 to like 140. Anything from there, like super feather, lightweight, super lightweight. But Rowley's someone I don't mind jumping up to 147. I've fought at 147 before. I beat a former WBC world title challenger in Maxwell Owuku. Stopped him inside six rounds. So I've kept the power from the baby weights to the slightly bigger weights. And any of these guys. I want big fights, though. I'm not interested in the small fights. I want the big guys. And I want guys that need to be punished. Guys like Ryan Garcia, guys like Conor Benn, these proven drug cheats. Because like what Matt said, it's like he wasn't exonerated. It's just that the people who were accusing him couldn't prove why it was in his system. When they shouldn't have to prove why it was in his system, because it shouldn't have been in his system in the first place.
Say cheating is cheating. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's like catching a girl and then the girl blaming you why she cheated. It's like, nah, you cheated. Like, I know a lot of Americans are into being cucks and stuff. Like, maybe that's why, like...
That's another thing. What's your infatuation with America? Like, why you keep saying America?
I don't know, man. Like, there's a lot of Americans out there that are hitting their women. Like, I don't like that. I don't stand for that. I don't like that. Rupert Guerrero don't like that shit as well. You like that shit? I don't like that shit.
No, I ain't.
Did he break up for you as well, Matt?
I think you're breaking up a little bit, Gritty.
I get what you're saying there about me with America. I ain't got no personal hate towards Americans. Quite like the country. I was a big wrestling fan growing up. Big fan of Vince McMahon. But I just don't like the boxers who are getting paid ridiculous money and they're out there punching women at gas stations.
Right,
imagine that was a family member. Like, do you know what I'm trying to say, Matt? Like, you seem like a good guy. You seem a nice guy. Imagine that was like your sister or your cousin.
I know what you're saying. I think what he's saying is that, like, domestic abuse and this stuff is not just an American thing. It's really not.
It's mainly Americans that are doing it, though. It's not
UK fans. Hey, listen. I don't want to get into like geopolitical stuff. There are countries where it is literally legal to beat your wife. So we're not going to pretend like it's an American thing. So I don't want to get into a whole UK versus America thing. I think that's what Grady was getting at. But do you have a question for Prince Patel?
No, not really. I was just supporting what he's saying. I mean, I think it's an American boxing culture thing because you got Floyd that was doing it, you got Tank that was doing it, you got Shakur that was doing it, and they were all close with Floyd. So I feel like what Prince was saying was right. It's an American boxing culture thing. So yeah, keep saying what you're saying, Prince, man.
Respect. Whoever that guy was, respect.
I want to bring in my guy from South Florida, Tone. You're on with Prince Patel. What's going on, Tone?
Hey, how we doing, General? How we doing, gentlemen? Prince Patel, I gotta say, this has been one of the most entertaining interviews Matt has did in a while. I think you're a hell of a personality. I think you're a decent boxer as well. I just want to know, man, when you start winning these belts and stuff, man, you still gonna stop through the brunch boxing, man? Because you're a hell of an entertainer, far as on the mic, without a doubt. You're very entertaining, my man.
That's love, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for the positive comments and the good feedback. 100%, man. I'm not like these guys like Ryan Garcia who forget where they come from and these Tank guys and stuff like that. I've always joined on like Twitter sort of things and different, give even lower platforms, like, you know, the interviewers. I always give everyone opportunities and stuff. And I just want everyone to grow together and be happy and stuff. But yeah, I'm more than happy to jump back on with Matt once I knock out Tank or Rowley or Ryan Garcia or even Shakur, you know, because that guy's a woman beater.
Now you did mention that your next fight is gonna be on Triller, soon to be announced. Do you have a fight date already? Or do you have?
It's January the 31st. It's on Triller. Yeah, the promoter just sent me a picture. It's on Triller now. Yeah, it's listed on Triller for January 31st. All right.
Well, if it's listed on Triller, tell us who you're fighting.
It's a guy who's 11-0, 11 knockouts, but he won't be 11-0 after he fights me.
All right. Now,
obviously, I've got to be honest, though. I'm not going to be here and start saying, oh, I'm fighting like the King Kong or whatever. Like, obviously, the caliber of opponent ain't the guys that I want to be fighting. But when you ain't got like an actual promoter helping you and backing you and believing in you, and you have to do it on your own, that's why sometimes the opponents may not have the best opponents on their records. Does that make sense? But the reason why I agreed to this match was the fact that the opponent's unbeaten, so he's never been tested. Does that make sense? When I say tested, I mean we don't know how good he is. Does that make sense? So when you get guys who are unbeaten and they carry an O and they haven't been beaten, you don't know exactly how good they are. And I like popping cherries.
Now, so
I like taking them.
I wanted to ask you, because you fought in Saudi Arabia before. Obviously, yeah. Saudi is entrenched in boxing with Turki Alashik and Riyadh Season, Sella, Ring. Do you have any interest in boxing with Turki Alashik and Riyadh Season?
Okay, so basically you're asking me, do I have any interest in getting paid good money? Yeah, I think I do, bro. I definitely think I do. Yeah, and if you know what, I think Turki Alashik should bring one of these American women beaters over, and I don't mind doing some capital punishment out in Saudi.
Now, TKO, Zuffa Boxing, they're launching later this month. Any interest in Dana White and TKO? Who are also affiliated with Turki, by the way.
I see that, but I don't know. Like, I've heard stories from like Dana White where, like, this is me, an opinion. I could be wrong, I could have had misinformation, but like The UFC guys, the elite fighters, don't get paid as much as what the elite fighters and boxers are getting paid, but the sport is probably just as big. Like, when you talk about MMA, everyone, first of all, says UFC. They refer to UFC as MMA. So the sport, obviously, is basically... UFC is like the golden tier to, like, MMA, if that makes sense. And it's like, some of these fighters ain't getting paid, like, a level they should get paid. Do you know what I mean? For what they're doing. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if Dana's actually good for boxing. But I see guys like Usyk assigned to him and they're doing stuff. But obviously with the MMA, like, it seems like he's eating most of the money and not the fighters.
Correct.
That's just my opinion.
It's not your opinion. It's the opinion of the United States government, because they did lose the lawsuit and they have to pay out hundreds of millions of damages. So it's not an opinion. It's a fact on record. You could say it.
So why would I, as an athlete that risks my life, want to go with someone that ain't going to pay me much or what I'm worth? I believe the slave trade ended a long time ago.
It did.
Exactly.
No, you're
but
right.
Unfortunately, abusing women has not ended in the Stone Ages. It hasn't.
No, you're absolutely right about that. There's no defense for that at all. You're absolutely right about that. But you are going to be abusing your next opponent January 31st on Triller.
Yeah, by the Lord's grace.
Hopefully, we can get that announcement pretty soon publicly. You said it's on Triller already, so hopefully we get that announcement. Just tell the people before you get out of here anything you want to say to your ardent supporters out there about Prince Patel.
Yeah, I just hope that after I've done this, hope that some of you guys liked it, enjoyed it. Follow me on social medias, obviously. And I just, yeah, hope to make you guys proud one day, innit? And if you don't like me, just tune in anyway. It's cool. Watch me knock someone out.
Hey, man, I can't wait for your next bout. I'm looking forward to having you on after the bout, after you get your next victory. Don't be a stranger, Prince Patel. You are welcomed here anytime.
100%. I need to follow you. I don't think I actually dropped you the follow button.
I think you used to follow me, but then you unfollowed me because you thought I was really cool with Sonny Edwards. But it's all good, man. It's all good. It's water under the bridge.
You're followed on both your accounts. to be honest, look, you could be cool with Sonny Edwards. The guy, he's a decent fighter, but I just think I was better than him. That's all it was.
Used to come on with my guy, Rack Noble.
That's how I remember your voice now, yeah.
Many years ago, man.
Rack's a good guy, man. So, see, if Rack speaks to you, then you must be a good guy.
Hey, man, I try to be. But
that's good, man.
I definitely appreciate you joining us. We will be doing this again. I cannot wait. January 31st. On Triller, Prince Patel, ladies and gentlemen.
But one last thing I need to say is, in the words of Rupert Guerrero, that man is a woman beater. And I'm referring to Shakur Stevenson, I'm referring to Tank. They need to be executed, and I'm the guy.
And that is how we will end the program. This has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. Maybe the last edition of Brunch Boxing. I don't know. I want to give a special thank you to our guest, Prince Patel.
In all seriousness,
a very, very good boxer. Comes from good stock. Very entertaining fights. Very entertaining on the mic. So make sure you guys go support him. Go follow him. Shout out to my man, Cassius, for setting this up. Shout out to anyone who joined us and listened in, our listeners, Gritty, Tone, and my guy, Offline Ads. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you to those who will be tuning in the future, because we will be putting this up unedited. This is going to be unedited. Don't worry, guys. We're going to put the raw and uncut, uncensored, unedited on all streaming platforms, because goddamn it, are you not entertained? Shout out to our super producer, Huey P. Don't worry about Eddie and Huey. We're going to put it up as is, so you don't have a lot of work to do. Shout out to our COO, the Mexican Al Heyman, my guy Mike. Shout out to our host, Ezra Boxing. I am Matt. We are Brunch Boxing, and we are out.